So today, my friends, I had a talk all prepared for you about our continuation in the study of how God changes our brain. And the way I had the talk originally prepared, it would have been a little more intellectual than a service might normally be. And as we moved through this week, it became pretty clear to me that we have to approach what's going on in our lives right now a little bit differently. As I'm speaking to you today, I have no idea what the conditions will be on Sunday. I know that I'm doing this talk recorded, video recorded on Thursday early evening so that our tech staff has time to put the service together with the music and with the other portions of our service. We are not planning on going up to the church this coming Sunday because we don't know if the road will be passable, if we will have had enough time for a thaw in order to be able to get to the top of the hill. We also have had spotty internet, maybe in your home, especially at the church. We've got some water issues at the church. We've got some heating issues at the church. And so it was just easier to put this together. In our own respective places where we do our work. And so the talk today may be relevant for the Thursday in which I'm recording it and not as relevant for Sunday. So I trust that Divine Spirit will guide me to the right words to say that will be relevant for the day in which you hear this, because we know that that's the way Spirit operates. And so today, as I speak to you, I know that we may be in a different place on Sunday. All of our plumbing issues, our water issues, our electrical issues will all be taken care of by Sunday, and we'll be looking in the rearview mirror at what has happened during this last week. But I don't know that for sure. That's okay. I don't need to know. I know that we took precautions before we ran out of water to make sure that we had enough to be able to get through that possibility. And I'm really glad that we did. Now we're continuing to scoop snow to melt in case we run out of snow before we get water in the house. So it's kind of a tricky situation, and we have to have a sense of humor about it. Otherwise, it looks like something we're not used to, and it feels kind of weird. The thing that is good for us to know is that as we go through these kind of unexpected disasters, if you will, is that there are always people who have it a little bit worse than we do and have it a little bit better than we do. And that's why we stick together. When times become difficult, I know that what I have seen of people is that there has been an incredible amount of generosity and helpfulness and checking on each other and coming to each other's aid. That is what we do when things get tough, not just Unity of Wimberley. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about the people of this state. I'm talking about colleagues and friends in other states who are inquiring about us to see how we're doing. I know that I have had an unexpectedly warm and intimate time with both my sons during this weather event. My brother is visiting from Colorado. He kind of is now feeling like he's in Colorado, except they're better prepared for the weather up there than we are. And so we have tried to do our part to conserve energy by lowering the heat and all the other parts of our house, being around the fireplace, watching movies, talking to each other, being creative with the food we have in the house. And so there's a sweetness there that otherwise might not have happened exactly the way that it did. I'm enjoying watching our pets respond to the weather. My Westie, I guess because of his ancient Scottish blood, really loves this snow, and he's out there bounding around in it up to his chest, and it's fine with him. Our little Maltese poodle mix is not having it. She does not want to be involved with the snow in any way and will do anything she can to walk in the tracks that we might have made on our patio so that she doesn't have to step in the snow. And so it's funny to watch the animals, and it's kind of a nice little comic relief during this time. It's also been very sweet that when we brought in all of my succulents from the patio, a little lizard took a ride inside with the plants, and he comes out into the foyer every now and then where the plants are, just kind of hang out and see what's going on. And I just pick him up and put him back in the succulents so that cats don't decide to play with him to death. And so there's a little lizard there that it reminds me that life is going on. It's going on. And I have taken the opportunity, as have many of you, to take some photographs of something that doesn't happen here very often. The beautiful drifting snow, the ice that has accumulated and stayed, and unfortunately broken some branches, but trying to find the beauty. I know that I have a friend, and I spoke about this in my my Thursday Facebook Live recording that I did earlier today, actually. I have a friend who is an older woman who lives alone, and she's been without electricity and water for several days and has maintained a good sense of humor. I've seen how she's creatively tried to warm up things to eat over candles with a pie plate balanced on top of candles and glasses, a strange little arrangement that surprisingly works. And I've worried about her, but that worry also comes with a prayer. And really, that's what the lesson was going to be about today anyway. It was called the God of Your Understanding. And I'll just kind of briefly go over how this applies to our situation that we're in right now. You see, we have moved into, to some degree, a survival mode, those of us that are weathering this storm that we've had. And so our basic needs have to be met, food, shelter, warmth, water, trying to just stay as normal as we can under extreme circumstances. And that survival instinct has a little bit of anxiety to it. It has a different kind of focus to it. It has some imagination and creativity to it. And so it takes us back, if you will, to our limbic brain in the back, in the parietal lobes of our brain, that links us to our earliest ancestors, to be around that warm fire and to have something to eat and to take shelter from the storm. But the other part of us is also able, even as we're in survival mode, to step out of that anxiety and move into the prefrontal cortex, where we are one with the divine. That's where the mystical experience takes place. And I just want to go over with you, there was a study done out of Baylor University to look at the gods of America. And there are four different gods of America. There's the authoritarian God, the critical God, the distant God, and the benevolent God. And it looks like the predominant God in America is the authoritarian God. The critical God and the distant God follow after that. 23% of people believe in a benevolent God. So the authoritarian God, the critical God, and the distant God, when we think of God that way, there's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of anxiety. There's the idea that we're going to be punished, that we're going to be, what's the past tense of smite? That we're going to be smote, I guess. I guess that's the past tense. We don't use smite very often. And that's all, again, back here in the limbic brain, the survival brain. It also has us separate from God. It's seeing God outside of ourselves. And even those Pentecostal experiences that I talked about last week, and in some of the evangelical faiths in which they speak in tongues, It is the Holy Spirit separate from them that is speaking through them. And that, again, that is a limbic brain activity. If we think of God as benevolent, if we think of God as one with us, we're moving into that prefrontal cortex, and the activity when we experience that, when we think of God that way, when we're doing less thinking about God and we're experiencing God, that in our brain lights up right up here in the front. And that shows us that we are experiencing our oneness with all things. So I'd like to share with you again. Okay, I have left my text elsewhere. So Martin Buber, which I quoted last week, has said that that there is a neural, as in neurological, a neural evolution of God, and it correlates to our neurological evolution and our the development of the brain. And so as we have become more sophisticated, our ideas of God have expanded and become more generous. We don't look at the authoritarian God the same way. And he specifically quotes, Martin Buber has said this, and then Andrew Newberg and his co-author in How God Changes Our Brain talk about the idea that New Thought churches like Unity and Religious Science, Christian Science, and some of the Eastern religions have evolved in such a way that we see ourselves at one with God, as one with God. The reason I'm talking about this today is that we now know that we have the opportunity to shift from the limbic survival, fear-based thinking in our limbic brain. We have the opportunity, even when we're experiencing that, to move into prayer, to move into meditation, to move into moments of joy and oneness with others and with the universe. And so it's counterintuitive in some ways for us to say, oh, I'm busy worried about where I'm going to get my next drink of water, to move into, I am one with the divine, and God is providing everything that I need. And we can make that choice. That's where our evolution is taking us, so that we don't have to exist all the time in the limbic brain. We can move to this prefrontal cortex, and we're evolving that way. It even goes to the way we look at the Bible. Marcus Borg said, if you see the Bible as metaphorical, it becomes an inspirational text, not a literal document by which you should govern your life. And that kind of takes the fear out of the ideas that we've had of God in the past, the ideas that we've had about the Bible in the past. And so scientists have discovered that there are these neurons in our brain called the von Economo neurons. It's like a name, von, V-O-N, Economo, E-C-O-N-O-M-O. The von Economo neurons start to build the bridge between our limbic brain and the prefrontal cortex so that we continue to evolve. That is the future of us. That is the future of God, if you will. Not that we're shaping God, but that God is being demonstrated in a different way because we understand God differently. And that's the most important part of the lesson today. What we can do when we are afraid, when we're anxious, when we're in that fight or flight mode that the limbic brain produces, where we become anxious and our adrenaline goes up and our heart rate starts to go up. What we can do when that's going on is breathe. As we've talked about before, breathing is essential to our survival, but it's also essential to us being able to regulate the energetic response that's going on in our body by using our breath to calm us down. And again, as I demonstrated last week, one of the ways that we can do that is to stretch really big, make ourselves yawn really big. It tells our body everything's okay. Everything is okay. Now just breathe. So to be perfectly honest with you, yes, I have had some anger about the lack of preparedness in our infrastructure here in Texas to take care of this emergency that we're in now. And I speak about that because there's been a lot of suffering that I think could have been avoided. And as I acknowledge that, I also know that staying in anger about it doesn't change the situation. If I let go and let God, if I use the serenity prayer, God, give me the faith to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I know that I cannot change that situation today. I don't have water today. As I accept that, rather than battling against it on the inside, rather than being angry at the fact that it occurred, ironically, what happens as I practice those spiritual affirmations, as I practice breathing, I become calmer, more focused. I know what to do to take care of myself and my family. So when we heard that there was a possibility we were going to lose water, not because of our busted pipes, we don't have any that we know of at the moment, we started gathering up snow, filling up bathtubs, getting hot water in thermoses, doing all those things. And what's lovely is that I got a lot of those ideas from people who had already experienced it, and I was open and receptive to those creative ideas. Had I been running around trying to figure out what I was going to do as Chicken Little to keep the sky from falling, I would not have been seeing the things that I could do to take care of myself. And so what we can do now as we're going through all of this is start to think about other people. They say when you're troubled and you're upset and you're distracted because of conditions and situations in your own life, the best thing you can do is help another person. As we feel that anxiety about this situation right now, one of the things that we can do is to focus our attention on praying for others, knowing that God is with them in everything, knowing that God is in this entire situation. We can move our attention that direction. We can see the ways that we can help. We can reach out to others and see how they're doing. We can be accepting of those that are reaching out to see how we're doing. We can weave a support net for each other. We can provide each other with safety in mind, body, and spirit. And do you see how then God becomes something generous, benevolent through us? Through us. How lovely is that? So we turn our attention to those that are in need right now, those that are cold or hungry or don't have enough to drink. Yes, we're going to support those organizations that are supporting those people. We're going to help out our neighbors, check on them if we can. We're going to say prayers that are powerful, powerful things that we can do. They're as powerful as passing on a container of water to someone else. And so that begins to engage the prefrontal cortex. We're using those von Economo neurons to begin to make the bridge between our limbic brain and this part of our brain that knows that we are one with God, that we are one with all things. So hopefully this lesson today has not only been informative for you, but hopefully it's also been encouraging and hopeful for you to know that we don't have to have a crisis in order to engage that part of our brains. We don't have to have something that spurs us into action to do that. We can do that anytime we want, for anyone we want, at any time we want. And it therefore enriches us. We don't do it in order to get enrichment, but we know that the law works that way. And so we extend ourselves to others through our prayers, through our hands, through our hearts. We'll talk a little bit more about how God changes our brain next week by Sunday the 28th. Be nice and warm, good old Texas winter again. And we'll be looking at what we learned. We'll be looking at how God was evident. And as humans, we sometimes can't see God until after the fact. That's okay. We'll look and see where God showed up. We'll look and see where we showed up in our own lives to be people of courage and resilience. And I look forward to being able to talk with you. I should be able to be in the church building on the 28th to be able to speak to you from there. But here we are today, and I'd invite you right now to just join with me in a moment of meditation. And what we're going to do is wrap up all the people, millions of people. We're going to wrap everyone up in our loving embrace. And our loving embrace is possible because God lives in us, because we are part of the divine. We are one with the universe. I'm going to leave my eyes open now so that I can watch my time. But I extend my hands to you yet again to let you know that these hands hold love and safety. These hands hold a tremendous amount of compassion and goodness, because we share that in God. Your hands are just as full. And as we do this with each other, as we reach out to each other across time and space, we know that God is our common language. That language in our heart, that's our common language. That's our common goodness with each other. We give thanks for the living spirit of truth that speaks to us in the dark of the night, in the cold, in the uncertain, because we are part of the mystical nature of God as well. We don't have to understand everything as it occurs, but we know that God is speaking to us and through us all the time. And that's what we're doing as a community with each other, is supporting each other in expressing exactly as we uniquely express God in the world. Just take a moment and know that sweetness. Take a moment and reach the hands of your heart out to your neighbors, to your families, to your friends, near and far. They don't have to know that you're doing this. We do this because that's what we were built to do. We do this because this is our charge in the world, to be the living, walking, breathing, laughing, generous people that we are. And so be of good cheer, beloved. Have hope. and know that God is with all of us. And we pray this giving thanks. We pray this knowing that God is present and that all good things are right now coming to pass. And so it is. Amen.